be with you.
And
also
with you.
Listen to the good news proclaimed in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, and I read from verse 21.
Lord Christ, our Savior.
Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and your daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ, our Lord.
Let us pray. Eternal God, in the reading of the scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. As we share in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Standing, you may be seated, because we used to say that. So join us as we share some reflections from this reading. Who is Jesus? Today we are confronted by a Jesus who is not very likable. A Jesus who ignores a woman in pain. A Jesus who speaks of a woman in derogatory terms, a Jesus who seems to take a racist attitude and stance in dealing with this situation. And really, we all prefer that Jesus who is warm and loving, the Jesus ready to show compassion and mercy, the Kumbaya Jesus, as I call him. And yet, we would be twisting or distorting to portray Jesus in that way today. We are also confronted by a group of disciples who show a distinct lack of compassion. Disciples who themselves come across as racist. Disciples who think they are better than anyone else and are annoyed by the presence of others who want to be part of this little group of theirs. We also want to have disciples and see disciples sitting earnestly at the feet of Jesus, learning from him, showing the God of love and reaching out to the needs of all people. That, however, too, would be twisting and distorting the text if we were to portray the disciples in that way. Maybe we need to feel the discomfort of this passage so as to make learnings that will be challenging and impactful to our lives. We are told in verse 21 that Jesus went out to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus knew at this time that he was coming to the end of his public ministry. We see him and the disciples moving into a district where he would not be under so much pressure to be performing. Perhaps he needed some time to himself. So he goes to Tyre and Sidon. These are non-Jewish regions, Gentile areas. The disciples find themselves out of their comfort zone. They were amongst Gentiles with whom they had little or nothing in common. was no rest or retreat, though, for Jesus and for his disciples, because as we read in verse 22, a Canaanite woman from the region came to him crying out. So now you can imagine their levels of discomfort, frustration, and anxiety were rising even more. Here they are in a foreign region outside of their physical comfort zones, and a woman comes after them pleading for help. She is not a Jew, but a Gentile. No woman within it was Jesus, a Gentile woman, talking first to a Jewish man before being spoken to. So all the social rules are being broken by everyone, disciples, Jesus, and the woman included. They find themselves out of their comfort zones. And how does Jesus respond to this woman and the situation? Simply with no response, absolutely nothing. We read in verse 23, Jesus did not a word. How could Jesus be so unresponsive to the agony and distress of another human being? We could come up with all sorts of theological grounds to justify and defend him right here, but the truth is, the text here, Jesus said nothing. And we do this because we are used to looking for all sorts of excuses to explain away the issues and challenges and the things that become uncomfortable or in our lives. Race, politics, economics, culture, religion, or faith. When guests come for dinner, we use of politics or religion simply so that we can have a comfortable dinner, a comfortable meal together. And I think with the increase of climate change, maybe weather has been put into that list as well. The disciples, who it seems can't be bothered with people who their little group are very annoyed at this woman. And they're thinking that Jesus is mirroring their emotions. They approach him. And so the disciples urge him and they say, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. This woman is irritating us and she is in your way, Jesus. The disciples didn't want anything to do with her. It was away and she was not part of their clique. And they seem to assume that Jesus has the same opinion as they do. And then Jesus' response in 24 seems to point directly to this. When he responds, I was to the lot of Israel, Jesus says. However, if Jesus agreed with the racist, exclusive position of the disciples, he would have done what they asked when they approached him and said, send this woman away. But he doesn't do that. What Jesus does is he starts talking. He begins a dialogue that will lead to the spiritual growth of both the disciples and the woman, and hopefully the spiritual growth for each one of us. The woman asks again, simply and painfully. We read in verse 25, she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. Would want and expect Jesus to do right here is to lift her up off of her knees and then to respond with a deep compassion and immediately give her what she is asking for, but he doesn't do this. Instead, he seems to humiliate her further. He replies, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. This is not the Jesus we know. What a cruel response, what a humiliating reply, not even to address her pain and to suggest that she is somehow human than they are, no better than a dog scrounging scraps from under the table. This doesn't appear to be the Jesus we know, the Jesus that is most likable, or a Jesus who is compassionate. But this woman, she is on a mission. She's assertive and she is not prepared to give up. She throws the words right back at Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. What beautiful words. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Is she not saying, surely there's enough to go around? And interestingly, and not by chance, the story comes soon after that Jesus is feeding on the crowd of the 5,000, which we read in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. And that reading and sermon was presented about 2 weeks ago. It comes now before Jesus is feeding of the 4,000, Matthew 15, 29 to 39. Matthew doesn't place the story here by accident. There's a clear message here about the abundance of God.
Yes.
The abundance that transcends all racial boundaries and gender issues. The abundance of God that cannot be contained. It cannot be boxed or fenced in. There's more than enough to go around.
Yes.
And then we read Jesus' controversial response. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. But the woman had not come to faith in Jesus Christ in the sense that she wanted to be his follower, or that she was prepared to leave her Gentile heritage and join this Jewish religion. Culturally, she remained exactly where she was. It is right, it is Jesus who reaches out into her cultural setting and meets her right here. Jesus has indeed been challenged. Jesus is having to enlarge the boundaries of his mission to encompass and to provide for this outsider. She herself has defied all boundaries to reach this man. He reaches out beyond all boundaries, cultural and religious, to meet and dialogue with this woman, to bring healing to her family. And this is what should give each of us a sense of challenge today. The temptation is for us to expect others to come in and join us, and we welcome them, but to join us on our terms. They can be here, but they will be here with us the way we do it. And so we need to only begin to look at the school system in our own country, where a few years ago, and I'm sure the challenge is very real and students face it today, we saw young women and men stand up against hair policies at various schools. When schools were opened to all students, young black pupils were welcomed to what was then called the Model C schooling system. They were welcomed into policies that seemed not to speak to their appearance. Ethnic hair, very different from the hair strand of white people. It took protesting for them to be heard, simply saying, we are different, yet made in the image of God.
Yes.
This is more than just about hair. It is about welcoming people in for who they are. Are we prepared to enlarge our boundaries, change our policies, and open our hearts to encompass all people so that we can share the diverse beauty of each person we interact with? The church throughout history has become like a club. It has membership rules, and then many local churches operate like a clique, where people are expected to conform in order to belong. We see it. We are it. In our own churches, there's a set time for church service that happens, and let it not run over that time. We are watching our watches to see what time the service. We will not attend a church service that takes more than the set time that we are used to. We will not venture into that 3-hour service because we are used to the 1 or 1.5 hours that we have set aside on a Sunday to spend with God. So where do I begin to push the boundaries of my life, we may begin to ask. Well, we need to take up the challenges that are put before us. us. And so we can open up the boundaries of your life by simply coming to St. Monica's in Kwanakatula. And I'm using this as an example. Bring your English or your Afrikaans prayer book with you so that you can follow the Isikhosa liturgy with together and celebrate Christ in a new and very different way. Do not let language and culture keep us from God and from celebrating the love of God together as the body of Christ. The 2 or 3 hours will seem like 10 minutes. Let us begin to reach out and dialogue, to celebrate our diversity and to acknowledge our sameness. Come and share the choral music at St. Peter's in town. It may not be your thing, yet it may be the very thing that opens the boundaries of your heart to God and to other people. So in the story, Jesus reaches out and he meets the woman in her culture. He doesn't ask her to join his club. He simply accepts her as she is, shows compassion and grace, and allows her to continue in her own cultural way of being. More than that, Jesus and the disciples are open to learning from this woman, from another culture. There may have been a struggle, but the openness is there. They don't just tolerate the difference, they actively engage with it. They were prepared to be challenged by it, and to allow themselves to grow through this cross-cultural interaction. So then, who is this Jesus? He is the Jesus that invites you in. He is the Jesus that sends you out beyond the boundaries that you have created. He is the Jesus Christ who accepts and loves you for who you are, the image of God. Amen.